Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, deep in God's country, in the heart of the American Redoubt, in the staging area for freedom and liberty, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And this is the year we take our freedom back, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as James 4:17 admonishes us, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And I'll tell you right now, last week in Washington, D.C., that should be the new motto etched in stone over the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, and then over the White House, because it was very apparent to me last week, there are a lot of people who know what the right thing to do is and who just aren't doing it. And they're not doing it because of fear, not doing it because they might not get reelected, not doing it because maybe they just want to take the easy way. And so when I came back from Washington, D.C. and went directly to a funeral of a friend of mine who was buried at the age of 33. You know, it kind of struck home, you know, what really matters is your family. What really matters is what's really near to you. And it's just doing the right thing on a daily basis in the small things, not just in the big things, in the small things. Because if you do it in the small things, when the big things come around, then you'll do the right thing as well. So once again, reach out and touch your loved ones today. Tell them thank you. You love them. You appreciate them. And that no matter what happens, if you stay together as a family, you can make it through an awful lot of difficult times. And I think it's a great message to share with your friends and your family and your neighbors as well. And now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, Iran, quote, "We're getting prepared to overthrow Israel," end quote. And then quote again, "Welcome do we with war with Israel," end quote. And that's the Supreme Commander of the Revolutionary Guard. So not just some low-level functionary, but an actual leader of the Iranian military and his lieutenant. So that seems pretty clear to me. I mean, despite this whole thing about the Iran deal, love peace in our time, this garbage that always gets shown in the lens of history to be wrong, that's exactly what's happening. And like I've said before, I think what's going on here is that you have this whole Iran deal literally setting a war up. I don't think it's there to prevent war. I think it's there to set a war up in the Middle East. I think that's what this is all about. And boy, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong, but that's really what it looks like. Taking all of the facts, all the words, everything into consideration, that's what it looks like. Also on the international front, Russia, now conclusive proof via satellite photography. And it looks like some aerial photography as well. I can't really tell because satellite photography is so good now, you can't tell the difference between the two. But unless you have a very well-trained eye, very clear that there are Russian troops, Russian aircraft, and in one report, Russian tanks, either in Syria or being shipped to Syria right now. Now, the Russians coming into Syria like that, full force, is a very dramatic sign. And this comes on the heels of the largest naval exercise between China and Russia in their history. This comes on the heels of the Chinese Navy off the coast of Alaska. This comes on the heels of all the probing that Russian bombers and Russian fighters have been doing. This comes on the heels of some aggressive Russian posturing in response to aggressive U.S. posturing in the Mediterranean. Wow. Folks, the whole place is a tinderbox. And the problem is if one country makes the wrong move, one soldier of one country makes the wrong move, you literally could have that propelled into a world war. And that is not, that's not hyperbole. That's not fear-mongering. That's a fact. For example, we have a NATO alliance with Turkey. If any of their aircraft are shot down, if any of their soldiers are killed by Russians, we would be obligated to defend them according to the treaty, which is, as many people pointed out, really an entangling alliance akin to what preluded World War One. But I really don't see our administration here in the United States doing anything to stop this. There's no attempt at all to really stop this. It's like it's being intentionally fostered. I mean, it's like he's making exactly the wrong decision at exactly the wrong time, but doing it so consistently, it looks like it's part of an intentional plan. And again, I hope I'm wrong, but it really looks that way. You feed the opposition in Syria through smuggling arms in Libya, which results in the Benghazi tragedy. We leave our soldiers there and a couple of Americans who were very brave, there to die. The arms get smuggled into Syria to opposition groups that we know are fighting alongside Al-Qaeda. And we know some of those weapons and some of those materials were going to Al-Qaeda because it was admitted by some of the highest level government officials here in the U.S. They admitted that it was very likely some of those materials were making their way into the hands of Al-Qaeda. Well, then also you had them making their way into the hands of ISIS because ISIS was seizing former U.S. military bases and U.S. military equipment. In one estimate was over $1 billion worth of U.S. military equipment, maybe even way more than that, being seized. And so you have to ask the question, is what we're doing over there working? The answer has to be no by any objective standard. We're doing everything wrong over there. And on top of that, you have Inspire magazine, which is the Al-Qaeda kind of propaganda magazine, telling blacks in the U.S. to kill white politicians, literally in those words. So literally now you have a death threat against U.S. politicians published in a terrorist magazine. And most of you probably were, I never heard that in the media. You're right, you never did hear that in the media. But it's true. And you can go take a look at it for yourself, but it's true. And the problem then is now they are literally so emboldened over there that they're expecting, not planning, they are expecting their elements that are already here in the United States, terrorist cells that are already here in the United States, to act on those orders. They're already expecting that to happen. And it looks like it's being allowed to happen by the administration. I mean, we have all of these so-called lone wolf terrorists. There's no such thing as a lone wolf terrorist attack. There's no such thing. It doesn't jive with the theopolitical construct that is Islam. Because it is a theopolitical construct. It's not just a religion. It is an entire way of life. An entire governmental system, an entire military system. And there was a couple, there have been a couple local media outlets that have been trying to say, oh, that's not true. You know, and then you ask them the question, have you read The Reliance of the Traveler? Have you read literally the book that Muslims read? Have you read it? And the answer is no. So go read it. Just read it and decide for yourself. And understand that the stamp of Al-Azhar at the very front part of that book is the stamp of what would be like our Harvard University, Harvard Law. That's actually more appropriate. Harvard Law School stamp of approval that this is literally the authoritative interpretation of Islam for Sunni Muslims. So just read it yourself. Take a look at it yourself and read it. And it's interesting that these reporters in local media outlets literally are putting people's lives in danger Because what they're doing is that they're publicizing the people's names. They're publicizing the address of church services, like the Spokesman Review did recently. Excuse me, that's wrong. The Socialist Review. They don't get the dignity of that other name. The Socialist Review publishes a name, and it publishes the church services and times and addresses. That is essentially, folks, a hit list. And we're going to have somebody on, not today, but we're going to have somebody on here in the near future that's going to talk about this publicizing of names like the SPLC does, like these local media outlets do, that literally what they're doing is publicizing a hit list. And they're the ones that will be very quick, and I'm going to talk about this here in a second, but they're the ones that will be very quick to say that there's inflammatory rhetoric everywhere. The fact that they published it is inflammatory. And they did that to a local pastor here in the Spokane Valley, Sharam Hadian. Unbelievable. And then we have massive unrest throughout all of Europe. We've got refugees flooding in, known members of ISIS coming in with those refugees, reports of rape happening in some of the camps now. And our administration here wants to take 10,000 of them in. And all the while, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, okay? And somebody tried to email me the other day because they heard this on the show, tried to say, oh, it's not true that Arab countries are. That's not what I said. Okay, listen carefully. I'm not saying that all Arab countries are denying refugees, because clearly Lebanon is taking in refugees. What I'm saying is the Gulf states, the Gulf Arab states, are not taking in refugees. Specifically, Saudi Arabia, the richest of them all, having 100,000 air-conditioned tents. And with those air-conditioned tents, they literally have the ability to take in four times that number of refugees. And they're not doing it. And yet they want refugees to go to Europe. They want them to go to the United States. And there's something called hijra, which is it's a term in part of jihad, which is immigration. It's actually part of jihad is immigration. And so it's almost like there's this forced hijra happening here that we're watching right before our very eyes. And I don't know how else to describe that as very suspicious that you have the Gulf states, who are the closest geographically, who have millions upon millions of dollars to deal with the refugee problem. They have air-conditioned tents. They have space with the desert there that's not being occupied. And nothing is happening. How else do you look at that? How else? I don't know. Let's move on to the national front. The EPA is threatening $16 million fine against a Wyoming rancher. We're going to see more of this happening. Now, there is some good news, actually. Over in Montana, there's several places that are over there, but if you go kind of northwest of Missoula, about an hour and a half, and you get into the mountains, there's a lot of mines there, and there was a mine up there that the government now, the Forest Service in particular, was trying to do the same thing that they did with the Gallus mine in Oregon, and they were trying to say that they didn't have a claim. They're trying to kick them off the claim, and if these miners leave the claim, then the claim is in disuse, and then they lose the claim anyway. So it's like a catch-22 that these Forest Service and BLM people try to do to them. But up there in that, near Lincoln, Montana, in that area, the federal government has, at least right now, backed down. It is now in court. And so there's a good victory, again, of what happens when we all stand together. The government has to back down because they can't arrest all of us. And I'm going to get to that here in a second with a Kentucky clerk. They can't arrest all of us. They can't do it. There's just no way. There's just no way. And that is the Achilles heel of the federal government. They do not have and of bureaucrats and of agents, etc., to enforce all of these unconstitutional takings. And that's what they are. Where you have a bureaucracy without any due process, without any court hearing, without any jury, without anything. Just saying, oh no, you can't use your claim anymore. That's what that is. Let's just be plain about it. That's exactly what that is. So we need to stand on the line. And when we stand on the line, every time it's happened, we've stood on the line, whether we're talking in Nevada, we're talking up in Priest River, Idaho, talking in Lincoln, Montana now, Gallus, Oregon, every time they back down. And the folks get their day in court, which is all they're asking. They're just asking for due process. They're just asking for due process. That's it. Just due process. Just follow the Constitution. Pretty simple. And that brings us to the Kentucky clerk. So yeah, she's let out of jail. Oath Keepers has said that they will not allow her to be rearrested. And it's not just there. Down in Southwest Washington, you have a high school football coach being investigated. Okay, now think about this. We've got murderers, we've got rapists, we've got people that are burglarizing and causing all kinds of problems in communities, right? But no, they are investigating the high school football coach, okay? Not for burglary, not for rape or murder or anything like that. No, no. They're investigating the high school football coach for doing the horrible thing of praying with his players after the game. And by the way, it's a voluntary prayer. He doesn't force them to. They voluntarily pray together after the game. That's what they're investigating. That's ridiculous. That's total violation of our state constitution. Many of you have heard me say this, but it is very, very clear. Very clear. In the Washington State Constitution, Article 1, Section, I believe, 10, there is an absolute, these are the words, an absolute freedom of conscience in all matters of religious sentiment. An absolute freedom of conscience in all matters of religious sentiment. And then Article 26, the only irrevocable part of the Washington State Constitution, and when I say irrevocable, literally this is the compact with the United States. Literally. The only way it could be repealed or revoked is with a vote of Congress and a vote of the people. Okay? Article 26, there shall be perfect toleration of religious sentiment. Okay, so you have absolute and perfect. Now, in the law, you don't hear those words very often. But when they are used, they are used with very specific intent. That there's no other way that you could... There is no other way that you could read it, okay? No other way. And so this brings us to this Kentucky clerk. Yes, she's let out of jail. But this is going to continue, folks. If you're a Christian out there and you thought this would never happen in America, it is happening in America, despite the very clear, plain, unmistakable wording of the state constitution, and I believe the U.S. Constitution as well. Freedom of religion, not from religion. Unmistakable wording, and yet Christians are still being investigated for living their faith beyond the four walls of the church. And folks, at the end of World War II, there was a report from the OSS, that was the Office of Strategic Services, the precursor to the CIA. They did a report on Nazi Germany, on the persecution of Christians in Christian churches in Nazi Germany, because they wanted to find out how it was possible that in an ostensibly Christian country, that the horrors that happened in Germany happened. Okay, that was the objective study they did. And here's what the conclusion they came to. It happened because Christians were prevented from living out their Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. That's how Germany was able to do it. That is how this happened. That is, I think, a lesson to us today. That is a lesson to all of us for all time, actually. And so, when we see this happening with one clerk in Kentucky, we need to treat it as if it's happening to every single one of us as Christians, because it is happening to every single one of us as Christians. It is happening now to a high school football coach in Washington State, here at home. And yeah, they might let off and they might reverse their course and say, oh, no, no, we're so sorry. And then they'll come back and they'll do it again later when everybody's kind of rested and just kind of gone back to their own lives and not really paying attention. Folks, this is going to continue. This is going to continue, and we need to fight it. We need to fight it. We need to fight it. Also on the national front, still not enough votes in the House for the Iran deal. There's been a lot in the media about this, but there literally has not been a vote yet in the House, so this thing is not over yet. And the media is trying to make it look like it's totally over. It's not over yet. Also on the national front, weaponized drones in North Dakota. And I don't even know what to say about that. I really don't even know what to say about that. Because the fact that they might even use drones in a weaponized form totally confirms what we warned about here on this show, this very show, 3 years ago. Look, this is not something that is conspiracy theory. It's fact. It's what they're looking at doing. And so, you know, all these people that used to tell us this was conspiracy theory, like our sheriff here in Spokane County, this is a conspiracy theory, you know, and it's not. You know why? They're lying to you. They're covering it up. They knew what they wanted to do all the way along. And so now we have weaponized drones in North Dakota, and there's going to be a push, not only in North Dakota, but across the rest of the country to allow the weaponized use of drones. I mean, this is like Hunger Games weird. My goodness. So what due process covers that? It should cover it. I would think the Constitution covered it, but apparently we're ignoring the Constitution. We really have to look at this stuff. Also on the national front, and very interestingly enough, there have been a lot of people that have been telling me, Matt, you need to moderate your message. Your message is too principled. It's too conservative. Not going to get reelected, you're not going to be effective, and all those things have been conclusively proven wrong with the freedom agenda and with the overwhelming support that that all of us together listening to Patriot Radio built here in the Northwest. Now, here's an interesting poll today out. So the poll was on presidential candidates. If you add up Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul, okay, kind of the bona fide anti-establishment candidates. You could throw in Carly Fiorina, maybe, but I don't think so. I'm going to just go with the four I know for sure, okay? Bona fide anti-establishment candidates. Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, okay? They account now for 65% of the vote. And what that says politically and demographically, what it says is the Republican Party is now hard anti-establishment. They've had enough of being lied to. They've had enough of this say one thing, do another, out on the campaign trail. It is beyond, comprehension that we still have politicians in Washington, D.C. ignoring the people. Ignoring the people. And not listening specifically to their Republican base. Now, the liberal media has vilified the Republican base as extremist, as anti everything that is good in the world, you know, and when in fact they really are. But they've tried to demonize the Republican base, and you know what? People are just sick and tired of it. Tired of being called names. You know, when they label me an extremist, they're labeling all of you an extremist. When they say that being pro-life is extreme, or you know, being pro-gun is extreme, or being pro-veteran is extreme, or you know, being pro-property rights, that's extreme. I wonder if they read the same Constitution. The fact is they don't read. They don't read the Constitution because it's very clear what it says. You can't call people extremists that believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. And you can't say to especially members of like Act for America, one of the what is the largest national security organization in the entire country, you can't call their members extreme when they're about protecting the country. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It never makes sense. And so now we have this manifesting with this 65% of this anti-establishment push out there. 65% saying, you know, we've had enough of these people lying, like John Boehner and the rest of the leadership in Washington, D.C., just saying one thing on the campaign trail, doing another, and betraying us on those core principles that are core to the platform. We're not talking the smaller level detail. We're talking the core principles like no new taxes, for example. We saw that here in Washington State even this year. Shrinking the size of government. Saw that in Washington State and in D.C. Pro-life. Saw that in Washington State and Washington, D.C. And the fact that we didn't have, it was Republicans that prevented the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And that's where the biggest argument was between Republicans. It wasn't Republican-Democrat. It was between Republicans. I mean, if you don't believe in the right to life, you get all the rest of the rights that are unalienable wrong. You undermine them all. Unbelievable that we have party leadership that is so tone deaf that 65% can be against them and they're still thinking, ah, it's just a flash in the pan. No, people are upset. They're upset because their tax money is being wasted, because Planned Parenthood is not being defunded, because they're VA, Social Security Administration, coming after their gun rights. The EPA and locally here in Washington State, the DOE are coming after our property rights. That's what they're mad about. That is what is going on. That is what has people so just furious, because they're watching this and they can't do anything about it. And they feel like their elected representatives care more about getting reelected than doing the right thing. 65%, you can't say that goes away. And there's local Republican, there's a particular local Republican, very small minority faction that has been intentionally targeting conservative constitutionalists for years now, throwing money so that, you know, money is wasted and we can't get conservative Republicans elected in other parts of the state, just intentionally demonizing them and being shown and disproven left and right. I mean, one of them even tried to come after my own veteran record, you know, and I had to literally post the stuff to prove conclusively that they were lying. And they still didn't really apologize. It was just kind of, maybe I got that wrong. I mean, it's just, but now they're such a small, irrelevant faction. And this number is proving it. The Republican base has just had enough. And all these people out there say, oh, we need to moderate our message, and you don't really speak the message of the people. No, that's just not true. The message of the people is a 65% that are anti-establishment. And that's just those four candidates. I mean, we could probably throw in some other candidates in there as anti-establishment as well. and that number be even higher. But clearly Trump, Carson, Cruz, and Paul are bona fide anti-establishment candidates. Folks, that's where we're at right now. And I'm actually encouraged. I'm very encouraged. Throwing off the yoke of complacency, throwing off the yoke of mediocrity. That's what's going on, and that's what we need to pay attention to. And last on the national front, Gianna Jessen. Remember that name, Gianna Jessen. This is a lady who survived an abortion, a saline abortion. The saline abortion burns the baby alive, so the baby is born dead. Okay, I know it's horrible, but that's what it is. Okay, she survived that. A nurse, because the abortion doctor wasn't there, a nurse called an ambulance. She survived, and she testified before the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., and man, is it a powerful testimony. I had local media outlets trying to demonize the people that attended the rally for Planned Parenthood and try to demonize me personally for my comparison to Dr. Joseph Mengele, that they were ripping little babies apart and selling the parts for profit. Okay, the Germans did the same thing. So it's an exact comparison, a horrible, horrible, monstrous practice. This lady survived this and testified on it. And I think we need to get this testimony across the country 5 times, 10 times, 100 times, because she said, I forgive my biological mother. And she asked the question of Planned Parenthood, where was this woman's rights? It was so powerful. I'm going to make sure it gets up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page today, but it was so powerful. And what it is doing is it's just calling these people out on it. Yes, what Germany did was monstrous. And yes, what this is, the abortion industry in this country is monstrous. And these people that try to say, well, Planned Parenthood is about women's health, da-da-da, there are so many other clinics that are out there besides Planned Parenthood that can provide women's health. It's not even funny. And they try to get this monopoly in the market, and we just can't let them. And Gianna Jessen has done a phenomenal job. God bless that lady for the Christian witness she showed in that testimony. I'll make sure I get it up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page and also on the main page, my main Facebook page as well today. On the regional front, again, the Supreme Court citing us $100,000 a day, essentially trying to order a tax increase. And then they find that the charter schools that were voted in are now unconstitutional. And the problem now is that it looks like we might go back to another special session to solve all this problem that the Supreme Court has put out there, although I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think it might be more towards the end of October, early November, but it's still happening. Also on the regional front, a radical environmentalist caught stealing water. And this isn't just any radical environmentalist, okay? This was actually an environmental health director, okay, who was like the health director of the year in 2014, okay, gets caught stealing water in Pacific County, big scandal down there. I think it just goes to highlight the double standard, you know. Everybody else has got to, you know, drive the smaller cars and live in these apartments in these big cities, and we'll fly around in our jets and limos, right, and drive around in our limos. It's the same kind of thing. They just don't think the law applies to them. Also on the regional front, the local mainstream media saying that some of that rhetoric I was just talking about in regards to Planned Parenthood was potentially inciting violence. In fact, they tried to say that I was speaking down in Pullman right before the fire happened down there, even though I haven't spoken in Pullman all year long. And this is part of their agenda. They are right. They're trying to write an agenda as news, and that's not what's going on. And it's interesting that they take a message of nonviolence, stop the killing of the most innocent among us, and they try to turn that into an incitement to violence. I mean, this is crazy. The world's upside down. And we just need to continue to preach that message of nonviolence, stop killing our babies, and defund Planned Parenthood. On the local front, the Citizen Oversight Committee getting a lot of momentum. It looks like we have one county commissioner for, one against. The one that is in the middle right now that we do not know where she stands is Commissioner Shelley O'Quinn. Make sure you call her and ask her where she stands on the Citizen Oversight Committee. It's a really important issue for the people out here in Spokane Valley in particular. And I think that this is one of those big issues coming up that our sheriff does need more oversight. Also on the local front, 500 refugees slated to come from Syria and other places over there to this community. And we need to start asking the question, what's the impact going to be on our schools and our services? And how many more are slated to come in that we don't know about? And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Please pray and go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page. Share it with your friends and family. And remember, this is a listener-supported show. If you want to donate and keep us on the air, it costs about $1,000 a month to stay on the air here. If you want to donate and help us to stay on the air, you can go to VoteShea.com. That's VoteShea.com. Or you can email me at Matt@VoteShea.com. Well, I want to kind of circle back around to this double standard in the environmental community. And my guest today, and I hope he's on the phone right now, is J.D. King. He's a filmmaker, and he's kind of one of the young guns, I think, of the Liberty Movement. Done a great job. J.D., you there?
Yes, I'm here, Matt.
Hey, J.D., great to have you on. So I know you were trying to start your most recent project. Can you give the listeners a little bit of an update? Because I think they've been kind of waiting for your next film to come out.
Yeah, absolutely I can. So I'll give you the sad news first. The sad news is just 2 days ago, because we've had a hard time building momentum for the fundraising campaign on Kickstarter for this next project, we recently pulled it. And we're kind of regrouping. We're thinking of a way we can pitch this again and possibly launch this film again in a couple months when environmentalism is back in the forefront of politics. But so the film is about polar bears, the icon, the global icon of global warming. You know, you talk to anybody on the street about climate change, and the first thing that comes to mind is this polar bear floating on an ice chunk somewhere, likely ready to drown or starve because we're using too many fossil fuels. You know the story. Everybody listening does, too. But what I found out over the last couple of months is that story is completely wrong. The polar bears are thriving. There's more polar bears now than – there's actually way more polar bears now than when Al Gore was born. There's 3 to 5 times the number of polar bears today than there were 50, 100 years ago. Arctic sea ice is growing around the world. We have about the same global coverage of ice as we did in 1979. So the gist of the movie is this. If they've so messed up this polar bear story, which they've used to circumvent the facts and circumvent the logic and the actual science and try to grab people's emotions and sway them with emotions, a very typical liberal tactic. But they've used polar bears and they've used and abused this science, and they've screwed it up so bad. If that's the case, with something relatively simple, a polar bear in the Arctic, how can we possibly dream of trusting these people with something as complex as the global climate system? So that's kind of the angle we were taking there.
And it's so true, because not only do these folks, you know, come out and have this double standard of, you know, everybody else can live in these apartments and these 200-square-foot apartments in the big city, and everybody else can drive these small, cheap cars or ride mass transit, but we're gonna fly around in our own Lear jets, and we're going to drive around in our own limousines. It also comes, this double standard comes to the way they set up their entire argument, that somehow the presumption is that human beings, by just acting or being alive, are destroying the environment. I mean, that's really boiling it down where their presumption is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fundamentally, when you push these people back and you put them in this box that they've built themselves, they have to admit that, Matt, they have to. And they'll say that, yeah, people aren't as valuable as nature. It's like some of the biggest people right now pushing for, you know, humongous millions upon millions of acres of swaths of land in places like Washington and Oregon and California to be shut off from human use and activity forever and ever. I mean, these people work for organizations like Earth First, you know, the radical group started by Dave Foreman. You can quote these people as saying human beings have no more value than slugs. And while, you know, we're talking about all this crazy stuff in the world right now, you know, Planned Parenthood, which is so awesome that they're taking a lot of smack right now. I heard you talking earlier about how we got to take these stories and got to run with them. We do. Babies are dying, and the Syrian issue, and issue after issue. The news has been so crazy in the last couple of weeks. That's why I've had a tough time getting momentum rolling through our campaign. But this environmental issue is so huge. There's a top-down effort that you're well aware of, that our listeners are well aware of control. And this is huge. 2015 is the year for that. We've got the global climate change conference coming up in Paris, because energy goes into everything we do. Nations are lifted out of poverty by affordable, reliable energy sources like coal, for example. And that's exactly what they're going to try to crack down on. And I think the President Obama is going to try to make his legacy, Mr. Save the Planet, by getting rid of cheap, affordable electricity, what he calls fossil fuels or carbon pollution now. So it's a very important issue, and for freedom around the world, for pursuing policies that lift people out of poverty, for the blessings of prosperity. And then what else concerns me as a Christian is it's a huge smokescreen. It's what it is, you know, and there's an effort, there's an underlying effort here to replace the ethical system that America was built on, the Christian ethical system. And it's no longer right and wrong. It doesn't matter, you know, who you sleep with. It doesn't matter if you kill your babies. It doesn't matter. You know, they're trying to undermine the whole moral system of America. But what's right and what's wrong now becomes whether or not you're green, whether or not your actions harm the planet. And they brainwash people so much, Matt, and it's like, if we could just show them how much these people are swindling public, pulling their wool over their eyes by, you know, lying about issues like the polar bears, we can really, I think, turn people's attention to some of these other issues that we're so concerned about.
Well, I love the way that with your films, you turn everything personal, you make these stories personal, and then you add the facts in the primary source documents to back it up. So they really don't have any argument over the fact that all of these ocean buoys, the remote satellite data set, all these things are showing a cooling, actually, and not a warming. And they really can't argue with it. Or the fact that there are parts of not only the Arctic ice flow and ice cap, but also glaciers that are actually growing. They try not to talk about that. They say, oh, that's just an anomaly, right? But it's actually happening.
Yeah, there are glaciers growing all over the place. You know, up in Alaska, they're growing. I think in Northern California, they're growing. I just find it funny, you know, President Obama recently went up to Alaska to go on a reality show and go try to find a glacier that's melting in the background so they can talk about climate change. I just find it ironic, you know, why he didn't go up there in January. You know, he goes up there in the peak of the summer to show the ice melting. And the irony, too, is like that we've been moving out of the last ice age for the last several hundred years. You know, the certain glaciers they talk about in western Antarctica, whatever, they've been melting. Well, they've been melting like that for hundreds of years.
Because there's a volcano. And they don't talk about that stuff, too, that there are these underwater steam vents and these underwater heat pockets that come up, and that's in large part what's going on. They never talk about that stuff. They just, you know, they try to fit this narrative.
Yeah, and, you know, that reminds me of how the, you've got the polar bear on the ice trunk, and then what's the other thing that the environmental people who are trying to get us back into the Stone Age with our energy sources, you know, pushing windmills and stuff. What's the other thing that they use? They use the pelican in the oil. You know, we've all seen the photo of this pelican just soaked in this oil and looks horrible from an oil spill. Well, what they don't show you is that pelican 5 minutes later after they clean it off. That pelican is clean and it's flying off into the distance, okay? Now compare this to windmills. You know, these wind power generation plants going up all over the United States that are chopping up 30 million or more birds every year. Okay, these birds are losing their wings, they're losing their beaks, and they're getting chopped in half, and they can't be put back together there's far more damage done to birds than by any oil spill could possibly do. But again, where's the media? Where's the propaganda? It's always pushing this green agenda.
Always pushing this green agenda. And then when the facts hit them right in the face, then, you know, they really don't have anything to say. I think that's in large part what happened down in California, where you essentially had a cap and trade system fail down there because Democrats actually fighting amongst themselves realized that a lot of this stuff was bogus and was creating a monopoly for power brokers, albeit on the left side, but creating a monopoly in power brokers, which goes against their very fundamental beliefs against crony capitalism. It was very interesting to see that happen down in California.
Yeah, for sure. Totally is. And I'm going to put, very soon, in the next couple of days, or this week, I'm going to put Bluebeat Screen. A lot of your listeners are probably familiar with that. My last documentary, I interviewed a lot of people out there in Washington for it, up on YouTube, just to try to reach as many people as I can and get messages like that out there. So that's bluebeatscreen.com is the website for that. But I'm going to get that up there online and really just try to spread this message out as far as I can and get the truth out there and hopefully keep on doing what I'm doing. So
yeah, well, you got to do it. You're doing a great job. And it's unfortunate that you couldn't get enough momentum on the other one. Is there any way that we could help you get momentum for that? Is there a website people could go to take a look at this and spread it to their friends and family?
Yeah, you can go to Kickstarter and you can search for Ice Bear, the name of the film, and you can kind of see what we got going on there. You can't contribute through there anymore, but you'll be able to reach out to me and contact me, or go to bluebeatscreen.com and sign up for the email list. And if and when we do relaunch this in a couple months, once everybody's talking about climate change again, come December, you'll be notified. We'll be able to give you a heads up, and you'll be able to help us rally around this.
So let's talk about a little bit. This is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with J.D. King talking about this whole bogus climate change push and everything that's going on, and the fact that it's just not true. And now more and more and more people are literally in the polls putting this at the very lowest priority because they just don't believe it. They don't trust that there's any problem with the environment. They want to believe in conservation. They don't want to believe in this radical environmental agenda. So, JD, as you've been talking to people, you've been traveling around, what is the one thing that has stood out to you the most, is kind of the most egregious example, besides the polar bears, of the hypocrisy that's part of this? It is just so conclusively false, and is so much propaganda. What has stood out to you as kind of that big thing that really, maybe it surprised you, maybe it didn't, but just stood out to you in your mind?
No, man, that's a tough one. that's a tough one. Overall, off the top of my head, I would say it's just a general kind of do as I say, not as I do mentality, and then also the play God mentality. Somebody the furthest removed from a ranch or a farm in Eastern Washington as New York City or Manhattan thinks that they have the knowledge and knows better than the people who have been living there and working there for generations. And it just blows you away. Just the audacity of some of these people to think that they can come in there, from Cornell University or wherever it is, and start telling people how they can live their lives and how they should handle their own backyards. I mean, it's insulting to these people, but when these people, when they get stomped on, when these local private property owners get stomped on by these people who are in power, who don't know the land like they do, it's just, for me, it's just hard to see. It's hard to watch.
It is hard to watch, and it's hard to watch all of the jobs that have been lost and the families that have been negatively impacted.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Southwest Washington, we have a huge logging thing. I know you guys have there in Montana, but yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just gonna elaborate on that point right there. A lot of this was covered in my film Blue, But yeah, it's so sad to me to see the amount of jobs that have been lost in these states, these western states like Montana, Idaho, Washington, California, that used to have so many good paying jobs in beautiful settings. Beautiful mountainous settings, picturesque scenery, you could live there, you could raise your family. As a young person, you would have economic opportunity. But this has been wiped out. And these states are turning more and more and more into welfare recipients from the federal government, because especially like Montana and Idaho, these states that don't have a lot of people, and they're losing all this revenue, the revenue that they get when they do have an economy based off of natural resources largely, because that's one of the things we got going out there or used to have. Well, they just become totally beholden to whatever agenda the feds want to push now. The feds can say, look, we want you to have wolves all over your state. Okay. You know, we'll pay you money, okay, because we don't have money otherwise. So it's just whatever the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or the EPA wants, they get. But we've seen all these jobs disappear, and literally the young people in Montana are gone. There's nothing there for them. They don't stick around. The fastest growing demographic, I think, is the 55 or like 65 year old demographic in Montana, because the young people are leaving, and these towns and these areas that were once flourishing are now just. They're just pits. They're armpits. The drug rates are out the roof. The jails are full. Crime rates are up, and they're not nearly what they used to be. And it's all because of the radical environmental movement.
How do you turn it around? I mean, other than education, getting films out, like the films you put on, they're great too. I mean, again, I love the personal story, the facts, the primary source documents to back it up. I love that. How do we turn this around?
And we gotta continue to speak up. We got to continue to get the truth out there, tell powerful stories, write compelling articles, speak across the airways like you're doing, run for office, get behind people like you. That's so important. We have to have people who represent us in office. And it's one of the most encouraging things that I've seen is an awakening across the country with people getting together and people who care, and people are getting re-engaged in these things, because the other side always shows up. You know, they don't have the truth, but they show up and they're loud. And we can beat them, and we can push back on them by just simply showing up with the truth and trying to make a difference.
I love that message. So if people want to get more information about you, JD, they want to follow what you're doing, maybe even help you out and get some momentum behind any of your new projects coming up, where can they go?
Let's stay in touch. And the best way to do that is if they can go to bluebeatscreen.com. My website for my last film, and sign up for the email list.
Bluebeatsgreen.com. JD King, thank you. Any final thoughts for the listeners out there about, and especially the folks listening that are of the younger generation? Do you have any direct words for them?
Yeah, you guys can make a difference, and I want to see more young people standing up and speaking out. And what's been really encouraging for me is over the last couple of years since I've been doing this, I've actually been doing this for 6 years now. I'm 24. I started out when I was 17 or 18 making these films. But it's the amount of people who will invest in you and who will get behind you and who will support you, because they want to see this next generation standing up and carrying that torch. So just jump into the fight. You'll be welcomed by your fellow soldiers like Representative Shea with open arms, and you guys can make a difference.
Wow, powerful. JD King, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio. We'll have you on again, my friend, and keep me abreast of what's going on as far as your new projects, so we can help get the word out as soon as you get, kind of get regrouped and figure out which direction you want to go in next, okay?
Hey, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. God bless. Take care. JD King, Blue Beats Green, and I will put that up here on the Patriot Radio Facebook site right now. But a phenomenal young man, great filmmaker. And these are the folks we need to support. They get the truth out in a way that reaches across divides and is done in such a way as just to bring the facts and the truth. And I think that's what we need, especially when we're talking about all this climate change stuff going on, because it is completely disproven. It's ridiculous we even have to continue talking about it. But we do, because there are some people that continue to push that agenda, and that agenda has hurt thousands, tens of thousands of people. And You know, when we talk about, and I was talking about this at the beginning of the show, where we stand on the line and we protect people's property rights. We stand on the line and we say, no, this is not going to happen on my watch. That's what makes the difference. That is what makes the difference. And it's going to take all of us. It's going to take, we can't just, you know, have a few people here and there, you know, just sitting and, you know, okay, well, we've got to get this done. And then they go out and they rush out and they do it and they get a bunch of people with them and they do it. And then all of a sudden we go home and we sit down and we don't do anything else. We can't have that. We got to stay engaged the entire time. And it's got to be all of us. You know, up there in Peace River, Idaho, I mean, it's 6 hours. We had 100 people. Okay. And most people are working during the day. We still had 100 people show up up there that believe that was important enough to stand with their neighbor and back the federal government down. And yes, they backed down. And now they know if they try to do it anywhere else in the country, we're watching. And that's real change. That's what it means to be government of the people, by the people and for the people. We actually have to participate. And I know there's a lot of people out there that say, well, you know, we just can't. Washington, D.C. is lost. There's nothing we can do in Washington, D.C. Look, you can do something in Spokane Valley. Got election for two city councilmen coming up, Arnie Woodard and Sam Wood, two great patriots here in Spokane Valley. We've got elections coming up next year at the state and at the local level. And that's where we've made a huge difference, is at the state and local level. That's where you can get involved. And if you're a young person listening today, you can become an intern for one of these campaigns. You can actually get involved as a volunteer for these campaigns. You can get involved as a volunteer for some of the groups that are out there pushing for the truth, like Citizens Alliance for Property Rights and many other great groups we have here locally, Northwest Grassroots. That's how we can come together and restore a God-honoring constitutional republic. This is Matt Shea. Thank you to everybody for listening to Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.